This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with the outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Monday, December 23rd, 2024. Welcome in to another work week. Some places not going back to school. I know a lot of universities probably, some universities, when I was going to school, would have a final right up until like 5 p.m. on the 23rd, which I think should be banned, by the way.
I agree.
But maybe some public and private schools are having classes today, but I think most started their Christmas winter holiday vacation today.
I know. I went to Lawrence University in Appleton. Mm. They have trimesters, have a long winter break. Mm. And I think the idea was, you know, let people go home when they don't have, and so they don't have to pay as much for the heating bills.
Oh, very good.
But it turns out when half your school is a conservatory of music and there are very expensive pianos in every room, you have to pay the heating bills anyway. So that didn't really work out.
Got to pay it anyway. I'm not sure if I mentioned it. It's a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Have you had your, we're not doing, like I said, we've gotten to the point in my family, we don't do a lot of gift exchange or giving anymore. But for those that do, I know there are a lot of people that are still out there shopping today, into tonight, into tomorrow. Pack your patience. Show a little grace to all those great retail folks out there working behind the cash registers and on the floors. I have been there folding pants meticulously on Christmas Eve. But it's also fun because you're there to help your guests and your customers and try to find that perfect gift for them. So it's a busy time of year for a lot of people. Hanukkah this year, for the first time in years, falling on the same week as Christmas. So 25th, first night of Hanukkah. So coming up to say happy Hanukkah to all of our Jewish friends out there as well. And Merry Christmas and happy Kwanzaa and happy holidays.
Right? Yeah, holidays.
It's the happy holiday time of the year. Big show for you today. Have my Packer gear on for those watching on the stream on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, what have you. Packer helmet here on the counter. Green Bay Packers. A little Monday night football tonight. 5 p.m. pregame broadcast taking on the New Orleans Saints. You can hear the game live on WRCL 100.9 FM in Richland Center, WCQM 98.3 FM in Park Falls, and WRJN 99.5 FM and 1400 AM in Racine and 98.1 FM in Kenosha. Those are great Green Bay Packer affiliates. If you don't live in one of those communities, remember, we're not allowed to stream the Packers games on the Civic Media app because, you know, the NFL owns the rights. They get a little bit touchy about that. So, but in Richland Center, Park Falls, Racine, and Kenosha, you can listen to it over the air on our fine Civic Media stations. It's a big game. We're going to be talking about it quite a bit today. At the bottom of this hour, Brady Ewing, 3-time Big Ten champion, former captain of the Badger football team here in Madison. Also spent 3 years in the NFL with Atlanta and Jacksonville, respectively. He will be in live. Talk a little Packer preview. Also some Badger sports. I'm not sure if you follow this or not, but it is like a rotating carousel over at Camp Randall on Monroe Street right now with the Badger football lineup. I mean, it's nuts. Going to talk to Brady a little bit about that. And also having 4 boys, young children. What does the Christmas holiday mean to him? So all of that and more with Brady Ewing coming up a little bit later. And then in hour two at 1:30, our very own sports reporter, Mike Clemens, will be reporting to us live from Green Bay, Wisconsin. Give us the latest, who's in, who's out, as far as Packer roster, injury update, what's the weather like as well. Mike Clemens, nobody better to give us the Packer news right here at 1:30. Your phone calls as well. We have a what's worse in hour two as well. And Mr. Zomers has a board game of the week, something that you might want to play with your friends and family over the holiday weekend, right?
I actually have it here with me. It's a nice little stocking stuffer.
Really?
That a lot. It's pretty new. A lot of game stores have it.
All right.
So I'll tell you about it later.
All right. All that and more coming up on today's show. But first of all, let me just say congratulations and thank you to our friend and colleague, Jay Matt Nair and Greg Bach of Matt Nair on Air. And once again, and just the fact that I'm here should have told you that somehow, some way, through your grace, through your pity and your texts, Zomers and I were able to eke out a win internally in our grown-up gift list text win contest on Friday. Jane and Greg were ahead going into the hour, I found out afterwards, but simply by playing on your pity. And quite frankly, I think Jane calling in on the show only helped us.
Oh, definitely. So,
she may have done herself in. No.
But it was close.
It's always fun. And this is what the fun of having great colleagues like Jane and Greg, because you can have fun with it. You kind of, tease yourself because you care about each other and have some fun. But at the end of the day, it's really all about you, the listeners, and getting you all to participate. And then more chances for you, our great listeners, to win some of these great prizes. As soon as we know, and I know the computer drew the 8 grand prize entries on Friday, and I believe they're still reaching out to contact some of those folks. So as soon as they've been contacted and confirmed, we will pass on who those big grand prize winners were. But again, many thanks to Aaron Carreno, our vice president, and Sage Weil, our owner and CEO, who's really also our key tech guy, for putting all that together. Also, many thanks to the Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells for all of those overnight getaways that they participated in. Chula Vista, a great place to go and relax any time of the year up at Wisconsin Dells. And also all of our great sponsors who helped out with those grand prizes as well. So there you go. We managed to eke out a win. We thank you for that. You've kept us on the air for at least a couple more months until the next one comes along. So we'll see. But many thanks to all of you for playing along on that great trivia as well. Let's take a look at a couple of headlines for you. We're going to get to what happened over the weekend on Friday. We talked a lot about that continuing resolution in Congress, which they managed to cobble together and passed. So the government did not shut down. And over the weekend, President Biden looking at signing it. We'll tell you a couple of key things that were in and out in that, and also bring you a cut from Republican Senator Kennedy of Louisiana. And you want to see how our tax dollars are being spent? We're going to give you an actual cut as time was ticking out on Thursday into Friday. Tick, 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 tick. Time was running out, and Kennedy took the floor. And it's going to floor you what he talked about. So anyway, we're going to talk about that in a minute as well. But right now, breaking over the last couple of hours or so this morning, the House Ethics Committee has released the detailed report of their investigation into now former Congressman of Florida, Republican Matt Gaetz. Look, I'm not doing an hour on this, but I think it's important to bring you some of these details. Because perhaps the most egregious thing, well, I shouldn't say that. I was going to say the most egregious thing is the fact that the Trump transition team certainly knew about most, if not all, of these things and still put him forward as a serious attorney general nominee. But I'm going to correct myself quickly. The most egregious thing is the fact that it turns out, and I've not read the entire report, I'm reading detailed highlights from other reporters, but it appears that many of these women who are allegedly, and I have to throw that in there for a legal term, many of these women who are allegedly sexually taken advantage of by Matt Gaetz were folks who were on low or poor income, struggling, and were put under the influence of drugs and alcohol in exchange for, relatively to Matt Gaetz, a small amount of money, but to them was perhaps life-sustaining, allegedly.
Including a 17-year-old.
Yes. So here is the bombshell analysis of the Matt Gaetz ethics report. And it isn't just a scandal. It's a bombshell packed with evidence of illegal payments for sex, as Zahmer said, including allegedly a 17-year-old, drug-fueled parties, and the abuse of congressional privilege. From tens of thousands of dollars funneled through Venmo for quote-unquote dates, to a Bahamas trip described as a paid orgy, to connections with a convicted sex trafficker facilitating it all. The details are staggering. But it doesn't stop there. Pseudo-anonymous email accounts, accusations of coercion, and the attempted burying of evidence through a sudden resignation all paint a damning picture. This analysis put together by reporter Brian Allen. Number one, paying for sex. Gates made over allegedly 20 separate payments for sex, sending tens of thousands of dollars through Venmo, PayPal, and a Cash App. Among them, as Zahmer said, allegedly a 17-year-old girl. A 2018 Bahamas trip with flights and accommodations gifted involved group sex as payments, all while Gates used ecstasy and cocaine as corroborated by witnesses. Number two, a connection to Joel Greenberg. Greenberg, Gates' closest associate and convicted sex trafficker, facilitated Gates' encounters with women via the sugar dating website, SeekingArrangement.com. Never heard of that one. Thank goodness. Text messages and financial records show that Greenberg acted as a middleman, even coordinating with Gates' then-actual girlfriend to arrange these quote-unquote dates. And among them, as we said, was the exploitation of an alleged 17-year-old. Number four, drug use and fake communications. Gates regularly used ecstasy, cocaine, and marijuana during these encounters, as confirmed by multiple witnesses. He reportedly set up pseudo-anonymous email accounts in Congress to purchase marijuana, a flagrant abuse of office. Setting up congressional email accounts paid for with our tax money. Number five, the Bahamas trip and ethical breaches. Gates' 2018 Bahamas trip, which involved flights and accommodations far exceeding house gift rules, doubled as a paid sex retreat. Testimonies describe sexual encounters with at least four women, including exchanges described as quid pro quo for participation. Number six, witness intimidation and retaliation fears. Many women feared coming forward, with one stating she couldn't fully consent due to drug influence. Another said, I saw him on TV and feel powerless. Come back. More of these details and your phone calls as well. It's the Todd Lowball Show for a Monday, December 13th, pardon me, 23rd, 2024, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Lowball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Snow begins to fall right now here in downtown Madison on State Street. Be aware, many of our counties across Wisconsin under winter weather advisories today. Could get slickery out there. Have some precipitation already in western Wisconsin, now moving into south central Wisconsin. The temperature line is right there. And it's all gonna. And it's not always the air temperature, right? Right now, the sidewalks and the roadways are frozen. I mean, they're below freezing in terms of their temperature. So any precipitation that hits them freezes immediately. So you could see. Some people call it black ice because you can see the concrete or the blacktop underneath, but nothing on top. Some people, my grandmother used to call it glare ice, but any precipitation. If the road's not pre-treated, and many of our roads are not, it can get slick real fast. So be aware of that. We'll continue to update you throughout the afternoon. But again, many of our roadways could get slick pretty quickly. 22 now past the hour of 12 noon. Taking a look at some of the details in this House ethics report on former Congressman Republican Matt Gaetz, which had been kept secret, but was released this morning. A couple more of these, and then we'll move on. Number six was women intimidation and retaliation fears. Witnesses described an environment of coercion, delaying the investigation and creating a chilling effect. Number seven, Gaetz's resignation and political fallout. Gaetz's resignation during the investigation appeared to be a calculated move to avoid public scrutiny. And remember, I mean, things happen so quickly now, it's easy to forget. The nomination for Matt Gaetz to be Attorney General by Trump, it seemed to happen literally overnight. And reporting that we've seen other places said that he even caught Susie Wiles, the incoming chief of staff, to Trump off guard. And many people believe it was Gaetz who was on a plane with Trump from Mar-a-Lago to D.C. when Trump went up to meet President Biden in the Oval Office. And it was Gaetz who kind of just all of a sudden threw this out on the plane. Nobody else was around. And Trump being Trump said, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's do it. It appears that was a calculated move by Gaetz so that he could then resign kind of under weird circumstances to avoid the public scrutiny. Despite his resignation, the Ethics Committee released the report, and ensuing the findings would remain on the record. Number eight, weaponization claims and partisan allegations. Gaetz accused the Ethics Committee of targeting him for political reasons, claiming leaks to the press and, of course, a bias in the investigation. Evidence, including text messages, financial transactions, and testimony contradict his claims of a partisan agenda. The report is a damaging account of alleged criminal behavior, ethical violations, and systemic abuse of privilege. While Gaetz continues to deny wrongdoing, the evidence paints a starkly different picture. Reporting by Brian Allen. And again, let's make clear that the most egregious part of this, allegedly, was the abuse to these women. But secondarily, and close secondarily, was that the Trump team had to have known, believe me, as someone who worked on the Hill, not nearly at that level. But there's this information was known to the Republican House leadership team and was being kept hush-hush. The Trump transition folks knew that some of this stuff existed, at least some of it. And still Trump was willing to put Matt Gaetz forward as the top cop in America. The top cop should tell you something. Let's turn a page. This one went under the radar. Not nearly at the level of the story we just talked about, but interesting nonetheless. Mark Burnett. Remember him? The power producer who helped reintroduce President-elect Donald Trump to a national television audience with The Apprentice is being tapped by the president-elect to the newly created post of special envoy to the United Kingdom in his upcoming administration, according to CBS News. Burnett, who was born in London, helped produce hit shows like Survivor on CBS, The Voice on NBC, but is perhaps best known for teaming up with Trump on The Apprentice for NBC, which first aired in 2004. Trump had been well known in real estate and pop culture circles for decades, but The Apprentice helped again make him a household name. Though Trump severed ties with NBC in 2015, the same year he launched his first White House run. A source familiar with the decision told CBS News that Burnett was originally on the list for consideration for U.S. ambassador to the U.K. But as a dual national, that made the situation complicated. That selection ultimately went to Republican donor Warren Steffens, CEO and investment bank of Steffens Inc. It's unclear exactly what Burnett's envoy role will consist of. Basically, got to pay this guy off. And look, I don't know Mark Burnett from Adam. Very successful television producer. But there were allegations, let me stress allegations, that Mark Burnett was one of a select handful of people who knew of, we'll call them B-roll tapes. Like when you do a show like The Apprentice, there's all kinds of footage that gets taped that never goes on the air from reality shows. And allegedly, more than one source reported this, allegedly, there were tapes from The Apprentice show where Donald Trump used the N-word to refer to black people contestants on the show. But that was never released by Burnett and others. Now, maybe there's non-disclosure agreements. Maybe there's a big financial penalty. I don't know. But the fact that that evidence allegedly existed and was never revealed seems kind of interesting. But now that guy, they're going to make him ambassador to the UK. But since he has dual citizenship of both countries, you can't be an ambassador to a country which you also have citizenship to. So they kind of scratched around and said, well, what can we do? Well, let's call him a special envoy. We'll give him an office and some housing. But what's he going to do? I'm not sure. He'll just be a special envoy. Now, wouldn't that be a job, Zomers? A special envoy. That's what I want.
Just a made-up cabinet position?
Just a made-up position. Not like The Apprentice, of course. That was all real. No, it wasn't. You know who is real? Brady Ewing. He'll be in, talk a little Packer, NFL, and Badgers. Don't go anywhere. It's the Town Hall Balls show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Money, 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 money.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
To this day, when I hear that song, I see you standing there on that lawn. Discount shades, store-bought tan, flip-flops and cut-off jeans. Somewhere between that setting sun, I'm on fire, I'm born to run. You looked at me and I was done, but we were just getting started.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Balls show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's 12:34. 34 happens to be the number worn by our next guest. He was a three-time Big Ten champion and captain of the Badger football team, wearing number 34 at fullback, and then went on to spend 3 years in the NFL with Atlanta and Jacksonville, respectively. Now back in the old hometown that we shared together, back in the old RC, not the OC, but the RC, Richland Center, Mr. Brady Ewing. Brady, happy holidays, Merry Christmas. How are you, my friend?
Thanks, Todd. Yeah, doing great. Thanks for having me today. I think this is your live show for the week, so thanks for sliding me in.
Well, it's a pleasure. No better way to get ready for the holidays to spend it with friends here. So this is fantastic. Now, give us a live report, Brady. You didn't know this. You're going to be a weather person, too. But I'm looking here. The National Weather Service has put up a number of winter weather advisories. And it's kind of through the middle part of the state, just east of Eau Claire, down through La Crosse. And then on the southern end of this is Richland County, where you're at right now, over to Sauk County, Columbia County, and then kind of goes straight across over to Wisconsin. Wisconsin Dells, and then our listeners at WISS in Oshkosh, and also in Green Bay, Wisconsin. So that middle swath of the state looking for some possible freezing rain and snow. Looking at the weather radar right now, it would appear that most, not all, but most of the precipitation is in the form of snow, and the only real roads are the 511wi.gov. Department of Transportation here in Wisconsin. The roads kind of around Nakusa and Wisconsin Rapids. Some of those are now becoming partially covered. But Brady, give us an on-the-ground report there in the RC. How's it looking?
Yeah, no problem. I'm working from home today. I was looking out my window earlier. It was spitting snow and a little bit of rain, it looked like. But right now, it's nothing's coming down out of the sky.
All right.
And but it has warmed up a little bit, at least
has
from
it?
You know, a few days ago. I think it's above freezing now.
All right.
But
I can
work on my weather skills for next time. Just give me a little bit of heads up.
That's fine. That's fine. Yeah. Reporting from a tree stand next time, Brady Ewing.
Yeah, there you go. That'd be a win.
Right? Weather radar again shows light precipitation from Green Bay just over to Stevens Point, Wisconsin Rapids, back to Black River Falls, and then kind of scattered through the rest of southwest and south central Wisconsin. Right now in Milwaukee, Waukesha, Racine, Kenosha area, maybe just a few flakes or a little bit of drizzle, but nothing severe. No major roadways reported any accidents, but please, folks, drive safely as weather conditions can change quickly because those roads are below freezing, so anything that hits them can change quickly. Where Brady and I are from out there in southwest Wisconsin, boy, Brady, you don't want to be going down Bunker Hill or anyone else on one of these big hills and hit some black ice. That ain't fun at all.
No, it's not. And I mean, even the road we live on, you know, last week we got some of that ice and it was just absolutely brutal. And it's kind of a mellow decline, but I was just scared to even go down it.
Right.
Potential of slipping. So yeah, you got to be careful. Get some salt and sand on that before you're out driving around.
Absolutely. All right, Brady, it's a big Monday night football. I got the Packer jersey on. We got the Packer helmet here. We're going to talk about that in a couple of minutes here. New Orleans Saints visiting the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field. Pregame show at 5 p.m. tonight or this afternoon right there on WRCO Richland Center on the FM side. Also up in Park Falls on WCQM. WRJN and Racine and Kenosha carrying the game on the Civic Media Network as well. But, Brady, I want to begin going back to this weekend. Did you have a chance? Now you have a wife and four kids, and you're a busy guy. I'm just sitting around being a goofball. But did you have a chance to watch any of the college football playoffs this weekend?
We did, yeah. Actually, we just got a new. We never have had a TV in our living room, and we got one. Got one here this weekend, just in time for the college football playoffs. So when we were around the house, we had it on, and man, it was fun to see. It was cool to see, you know, the expanded nature of the playoffs this year and a couple Big Ten teams overall doing well. I think Indiana left a little bit to be desired, but right. their offense was struggling. But yeah, it was good to see Penn State and Ohio State win both convincingly. And yeah, just fun to see the competition. Even the FCS playoffs was
I did not click over. It was what, South Dakota State and North Dakota State, something like that? Or North
it
Dakota.
Was, yeah. Yep. And a bunch of Dakota schools in it. I think the last four teams had three of the Dakota schools in it. So yeah, that was even fun to watch. And
those are hardy guys out there. That, you know, that's where Packers got Kraft from. I mean, he was just out there playing in the Dakotas, and now he's great, doing great things with the Packers. Well, let me and for those folks that might not follow this like we do necessarily. So for many years, or for the last, 10 years, you've had the college football playoff where there's a committee, much like you have in NCAA basketball for March Madness, that selects the Final Four. And then they go and play the Final Four. And there's a lot of grousing and people say you have to expand that because too many good teams are getting left out. So they expanded it to 12 this year. And the way that the league champions from the Big Ten, the SEC, Big 12, who am I missing out? ACC, those all get in, and then a Power 5 school, and then the rest of them kind of get ranked or whatever. So what happened, it started out Friday night, Notre Dame wins 27-17 over Indiana. And as you said, Brady, Indiana went in there with one loss to Ohio State, but boy, they just looked outmatched and outgunned against Notre Dame.
They did, yeah. And I, to be honest with you, I didn't watch Notre Dame much all season, had watched a little bit of Indiana, but I feel like it was somewhat of an outlier in Notre Dame's defense, just took away any semblance of an offense that Indiana, you know, was hopeful to have. But it was cool and kind of weird as a guy that played against Indiana back when they were, you know, really struggling back when I was in college. And it was weird to see Indiana, and it has been all year, just on that stage, being competitive and just kind of odd. So good to see them there, but wasn't the best showing overall.
Well, and let's go through these other games quickly just so people know. But yeah, so Penn State had a 38-10 win over SMU. SMU this year in the ACC, they were expected to get in. They lost the conference championship to Clemson. That's the only reason that Clemson got in, because they won the ACC. And there was a lot of debate. Do you take an SMU team with the one loss like that, or do you put in Alabama, who had played a much tougher schedule but lost on the road to a bad Oklahoma team and also to Vanderbilt? The committee ended up taking SMU. Boy, again, SMU looked like they had no business being in this game.
Yeah, that was, I think, a miss by the committee. You look at Alabama's track record of playing in big games and the tough competition that they play week in and week out, and you know, their conference, it would be hard to go against them. Mm. Although, you on the flip side, you know, SMU didn't come out and compete, but you know, I think that's why they expanded these playoffs, is to try to give teams like that an opportunity where, you know, they may be on the backside complaining or, you know, advocating on why they should have been in the playoffs. Mm. But I think this gives you some context on just the potential disparity in different conferences and things like that, schedules.
Shout out to my buddy and new father, by the way, Alex Henvey, a graduate of SMU. And he got his MBA here at UW at Madison. He's a Badger, but he ran track for SMU. And his nickname, he was actually pretty good. And they called him White Lightning on the SMU track team, because he was like the only white dude on their 4x4 relay team.
Did he run the open 400 too, or just the 4x4?
I'm not sure, but I there was a picture of him running, so I know he actually did it in his SMU gear. But I mean, I'm sorry, Alex, but the Mustangs had no business being in that game, no business being in the playoffs. Number 5, Texas, then pulled away from number 12, Clemson. Speaking of Clemson, 38-24, a game that looked like it might be something in the beginning, but then turned out to be nothing.
Yeah, I didn't catch that one as much, but you look at Clemson, much like Alabama's track record, it's like, man, they're a great program, but obviously, having a little bit of a dip this year.
Yeah. And then the game I was really hoping for, I thought, well, now the nightcap is, we're going to have something here. And it was number 8, Ohio State, hosting number 9, Tennessee, and a lot of people salty because Ryan Day, the coach down there at Ohio State, has not yet beaten Michigan. They lost the quote-unquote the game once again to their arch rival Michigan. People online, all kinds of chatter that Ryan Day should be fired, even though he has like 9 losses total in his entire tenure in Ohio State. And a lot of Ohio State fans sold their tickets to Tennessee. Kurt Herbstreit on ESPN, who's a graduate from there, his son's still involved with the program, said he's never seen an opposition crowd like there was at Ohio Stadium, and Ohio State just came out and won 42-17.
Yeah, there's so much to dive into there. I mean, you look at, you know, the expectations of a program like Ohio State for Coach Day, that is crazy, and that shows you how powerful that that rivalry is, to have, you know, 5 of his 9 losses in his time as a head coach to come from one team, their arch rival, and yet look at the overall success that program's had within that tenure as well. So it's just the dichotomy of seeing, you know, Michigan having Ohio State's number, and then for them to come out in the playoffs and crush a really good team in Tennessee. I think it just speaks to how good that program is consistently. Mm-hmm. And I saw a video, either I think when we were watching a little bit of that one, the Tennessee guys running around with their shirts off pregame, and makes me think of tonight a little bit, because I heard that the Saints quarterback or some of the Saints players were spending some time in one of the food service freezers or something to try to acclimate and get ready for the game this week or tonight. So just
going to spend time in the freezer?
The polls is like, that's why I read a little article.
Oh my gosh.
This weekend, spending some time in the freezer just going through the play script just to acclimate to that. Supposedly it was 10 degrees, and tonight I don't think it'll be that cold.
No, I don't think so either. I want to come back and talk about that game with the Packers when we come back. But really quickly, Brady, before we leave, on college football, I mean, I don't want to keep beating a dead horse here, but boy, you look at the Badger transfer portal, and it is brutal. I mean, it is brutal right now for Wisconsin with all. I mean, they basically have no quarterback. No, there is nobody left in the quarterback room that was on the team 3 weeks ago.
That's crazy. And you look at, you know, how many just all over from every team, let alone Wisconsin. I think that's, you know, pretty telling, especially when you're getting a new offensive coordinator in. You know, they are a big part of recruiting the quarterback based on what type of system they're going to run. So in today's day, overall, like, that's concerning to me, but in today's day and age, a little less so, just because of the turnover in the offensive coordinator. I know it doesn't build a ton of confidence, but I'm not as concerned about that as it, you know, may look from an outsider's perspective, just because this new old coordinator in today's day and age is probably already recruiting guys and already has one or two in mind that, you know, fit his system and are loyal and loyal to him.
They brought in this kid, Danny O'Neill, 6 foot, 195 pounds, a three-star prospect, who comes in from, I believe, San Diego State, the Aztecs, where he threw for 2,181 yards and 12 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. But again, that's not quite the competition of the current Big Ten. I get your point, Brady. You're right. I mean, this new coordinator is going to come in. He's going to have his new guys. But boy, I want, and believe me, I'm a person who wants Wisconsin to be successful. But now they're already grousing about interference from Miami on some kid that wanted to transfer down there. It just does not seem good right now.
No, it's not. And we've talked about it a lot. It's the way of college football right now. And honestly, part of the reason I enjoyed watching all the games, but some of those FCS games, it's definitely prevalent there, but just not as vocal as you would see in the FBS.
Yeah. Absolutely. It is snowing right now in Madison, maybe snow tonight in Green Bay. The Packers and the Saints. Going to ask Brady Ewing, former NFL player, how much does weather really affect you when you're out there on the field? Come on back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Oh, Springsteen.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Of Lambeau Field. Welcome everybody to Lambeau Field in Green Bay, where tonight the Green Bay Packers take on the New Orleans Saints. See, I can't do what Joe Buck does. That's why I'm here. Welcome back to the show, 9 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock. But that theme is iconic. Brady Ewing, three-time Big Ten champion with the Wisconsin Badgers, former captain, 3 Rose Bowls, and 3 years in the NFL with Atlanta and Jacksonville. That music, Brady, the music alone just gives you goosebumps.
It does, yeah. You hear that, and it takes me back to my youth and watching football growing up.
Did in your 3 years, did you ever play on a Monday night game?
Did not. Nope. I never was able to. I always think it's cool on the Sunday night, or maybe it's the Monday night games, where they do the video player introductions at the beginning of the game. I always thought it would be neat to be on those and give a shout out to the alma mater.
Right.
Due to some of the injuries, never got the chance. But that was always kind of a bucket lister.
But tonight, the New Orleans Saints go up to Green Bay. As you say, guys hanging out in freezers to prepare. It's not going to be that cold up there. But, you know, as a former player, whether it's in college or whether it's in the NFL, especially the NFL when you're a professional, does the weather really contribute that much to a performance? Does it get in guys' heads as much as we, the fans, like to think it might?
I would say the precipitation definitely can, and as I say that, it started spitting a little bit more here in Richland Center, but I think the precipitation definitely can, just from a playing surface and dexterity of the ball. But as far as the temperature, I think, I don't know, it's cold for sure, but when you get out there, you're warmed up. The only time it would really bother me is when you go inside for half time, and you come back out. You know, you were sweaty going in. It's warm inside.
Right.
All of a sudden, you come back up and you hit that cold atmosphere. And, you know, it's like, oh, boy. I don't know if I necessarily want to hit somebody right now. You know, you're trying to get warm back up. But once you get going, the blood gets going, the adrenaline gets flowing. You know, I'd say it's probably more mental than anything.
Yeah, absolutely. Who do you like in the game tonight, Brady?
I like the Packers. I think they're hitting their stride. They've had, you know, had a good showing out of Seattle. You know, are putting some points up. I think if I understand it right, I think there's a few injuries on the Saints side that will definitely help the Packers and you know, some of their defensive stuff. But I like the Packers. It's at home. It's Monday night. I think they get a playoff berth if they get the dub tonight. So I think guys will be motivated and ready to go and compete. How about you?
Yeah, I like the Packers tonight. I mean, we were in Seattle last week, and boy, I mean, did you ever play out there in Seattle?
No, I never got a chance to even be at that stadium.
It's amazing. If you ever get a chance, I especially as a former player, I think you'd find it really interesting. The loudness, the volume, and what was really cool is even in the first quarter, there were so many Packer fans there that you could hear the Go Pack Go chants over the Seattle Seahawks fans. That was a lot of fun. But I thought...
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, it really is. And I thought the Packers looked much sharper last week in Seattle. I like them tonight, especially at home, especially weather, whatever. But to your point, Brady, they can solidify a playoff spot right now. Right now in the NFC, the Lions, the Eagles, and the Vikings are in at the 1, 2, and 5 spot, respectively. Right now, the Packers are sitting at the 6, just below the Rams, the Falcons, and then behind them, the Washington Commanders. So I like them tonight. And again, you just get maybe it's just me, take your take on this as a professional, but you have the feeling that the Packers are really starting to get into a rhythm here, both psychologically, and they're getting a little healthier and seem to be finding a groove, particularly Jordan Love.
Yeah, it matters. I mean, it's such a long season. You know, and they've extended it. So I think you don't need to be the best team in the league at the beginning of the season, but if you can take your bumps and continue to learn and continue to give guys that might be younger some experience and just have the team come together and gel as a group. Mm-hmm. You know, I think as cliche as it is, like, that's a big deal. And I feel like the Packers, from what I've seen, continue to, you know, take a challenge and continue to evolve and continue to grow, but then are putting points up in the NFL, especially that's so huge, you know, to put points up, because, you know, both teams generally are going to score, but to put up points in the 30s, high 20s is a big deal. And I feel like the Packers are starting to peak at the right time, much like they did last year.
Yeah.
I feel like they started to come on towards the end of the year.
Absolutely. We're going to have our sports reporter, Mike Clemens, coming up at the bottom of next hour, just after 1:30. He'll be reporting live from Green Bay. Give us the latest who's in, who's out tonight for both the Packers and the Saints. He'll talk a little bit about this. Have you heard about this Brady Toyotathon connected? So Toyotathon runs from November 15th to January 6th. And for the last couple of years, Jordan Love has thrown just one interception during Toyotathon. And so they're saying that Jordan Love is a Toyotathon quarterback.
All right. Well, we'll take it, whatever
it is.
Get it done.
Absolutely. Brady, you've discussed this program before. You have four wonderful boys, you and your lovely wife. It's an exciting time of year, it has to be, for the kids in the Ewing household around the holidays.
Oh, yeah, they're excited. We had a big day yesterday. Went down to church in Madison, and my parents came with us, and went out and saw the Mufasa movie and did a little shopping, went and stuck some Christmas lights on Colony Drive over on the west side of Madison. And yeah, they're just excited. I think for us, you know, I think they understand the reason for the season, but they do love, you know, gifts and, you know, it brings time with family and just reflecting on the year past and the year to come. So trying to enjoy it, but also, you know, just remember, you know, what Christmas is all about.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. Appreciate your friendship, Brady. Appreciate you being here. Here's Andrew in Maine saying, has Brady or Brandon applied to the open offensive coordinator position with the Badgers? There you go. There's a vote for the Ewing Pros to help out the Badgers. How about that?
Oh, thank you.
Hey, there you go. Thanks, Brady. Merry Christmas to you and the family. Talk to you later. You too.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.